Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy. We are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. What's going on, fellas?
Everything's copacetic, man. I survived the winter storm that was forecasted over the weekend. Going to the grocery store, no chicken, no nothing of substance there. Terrible.
That's winter storm. I was coming back from PA. I went to PA. I went to Allentown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was cool. It's quiet. It's different from here.
You went skiing?
No. My girl, she moved to Allentown, so I went to spend time with her.
Wow, that's nice. You look at you, romantic side. Not just all sports with you. And social media.
Hey, yo, to quote my homie Ray Jeezy, I'm growing up, right, Ray? I'm growing up. I'm changing. I'm evolving. The Ray's
silent.
Ray's, I know. I think Ray got kicked off, bro.
I think he did.
But yeah, Will T, I'm evolving.
Anyway, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear you're evolving. Glad to hear that, you know, you made it back home safely.
Yeah.
Well, let's get this thing started.
You know what, bro? All right, so Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Football Team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. I think Ray is back.
This show can be found on... Oh, you're back.
He's back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. My bad. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options and food and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. My bad, Will.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Hey, Will T, see what I did there? Did you see what I did there? I learned from last week.
Yeah, you gave me a part. I appreciate that, man.
Exactly, man. And also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports blog, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about possible quarterback options for the Washington football team that we saw over the playoff weekend. That was wild card weekend. Play-by-play voice of the Washington football team, Brand Weinstein, will join the show. At 8:25, we'll debate whether the Washington Wizards should start Thomas Bryant. At 8:35, we'll talk NFL playoffs. Finally, we'll talk about University of Maryland assistant basketball coach Bruce Shingler being suspended after a prostitution bust.
But right now, we have play-by-play voice of the Washington football team and founder of Empire Media, Brand Weinstein, is on the line. What's happening, Brand?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Going
great. We're good.
How about you?
We're good.
I'm doing, man. Football season's over. Feels like it's like a bear, and then it's gone, and then I miss it. So like it finally hit me this past weekend when we weren't playing. I'm like, oh man, I miss it.
So what are you doing?
What
are you doing around? I mean, to kind of take over that time. Like, what are you doing?
I slept for a week. You know, I still got my radio shows. I'm still doing that. But I slept for a week in the mornings and, you know, did not spend my evenings watching film of the Bears. So, you know, so things have lightened up a little bit. But, you know, then I'll get bored and then I'm going to miss it. And it's the offseason is so long in football that I get by the time spring rolls around, it's like I can't wait for it to come back.
Well, Bram, I'm sorry you stuck with us and not being able to call a playoff game. And I'm sorry that Ryan Fitzpatrick was in Buffalo with his shirt off, which he shouldn't have been, instead of being in a Washington football team uniform starting a playoff game. But regardless, here we are. Like you said, it's the offseason. But there are a couple of quarterbacks, not named Ryan Fitzpatrick, that played over the weekend that fans have linked to the Washington football team. Speaking of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, would any of these quarterbacks that you see, or Russell Wilson, even though he didn't play this weekend, any of these guys that are being mentioned under speculation to help the Washington football team, would you think that they would help this team to improve at all?
I think all three of them would, but I mean, like, in order, you know, if I have my choice, I want Russ, obviously. I mean, the guy, you know, should have won an MVP by now. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, he's only 33. I know he didn't have a great year, but he had a weird injury with his hand. And I think a reboot for him is probably happening. I mean, when he says publicly, I'm going to look into my options, it means he wants to leave. So Ron Rivera said they're willing to pay the price this time around. Price is going to be steep to get him. But if they do get him, I think it changes everything about this team overnight. You know, like, they have an MVP quarterback on their team. They haven't had that in a very long time. The other two are a different story. Derek Carr has great numbers. He hasn't won very much. And, you know, like, the good news is he's really affordable next year. And the reason why he might be available is they're changing GM, they're changing coach. He's in the last year of his contract. The last year of his contract by quarterback standards is really inexpensive. I would assume, though, that if you trade for him, and it's going to take a first-round pick, maybe two, and that's a lot for a guy who hasn't won very much, and you got to extend his contract, you're kind of hitching your wagon to a reboot for him is going to make him better in terms of results. And, you know, I think that's a wing and a prayer a little bit. And with Garoppolo, like, I think the skill set on Carr's better, but Garoppolo wins a lot. So you got to figure out, like, you know, is he lucky? Is it him? Has he been on good teams? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Because, man, he tried to give away that Dallas game the other day.
Sure did.
So, but he won. You know, and, like, the guy was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So there's something about him, you know. And I think he'd be an upgrade, too, for them. And he clearly wouldn't cost the same as Carr or Russ. So it's the real question to pay. Is Russ really willing to come here? And if he's not, then do you really want to pay the price to get Garoppolo or Carr if they are available? And I think the latter, Garoppolo will be. It's going to be Trey Lance's team next year.
All right. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. We're talking with play-by-play voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein. Bram, I have a question for you. Being that Coach Rivera is on year three of his rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it, how much is too much capital or asset to bring in one of these guys?
See, that's the question of the year, honestly. Like, last year, they said they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to pay the price for Stafford, which ended up being, in my opinion, too high. But, like, I guess we'll see. If they win a Super Bowl, then they're right. Three first-round picks for Matthew Stafford never won a playoff game. Like, for Washington, they're looking at this going, our team's not ready for that. All these assets, and we have a really good quarterback, but an incomplete team, we don't want to do it. And the million-dollar question this year is, do you think the roster is that much better than it was a year ago, that you are willing to pay that kind of price to get that kind of quarterback? And I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is, they are outwardly saying that they feel like they have to. So they're feeling the pressure of year three. They're feeling the pressure of two straight under 500 seasons. They're feeling the pressure of getting a contending type quarterback here and taking their chances with it. And this is what they're going to do. So I think we all got now, like, can they get the guy they want? That's a whole other story. Like, just saying you're willing to pay the price, it doesn't mean Russ is going to want to come here or Deshaun's going to want to come here. So I think this is going to be a very interesting few weeks for sure.
Okay, let's flip the scenario. Let's say that Washington isn't able to get one of these veteran quarterbacks. And you mentioned that Ron Rivera, although he missed his first year, he's coming off of two sub-500 seasons. Does Ron Rivera have enough goodwill to draft a rookie quarterback and not make the progress on the field, meaning above 500 this year with the owner, you know, with the ownership. I'm not going to say being in flux, but Dan Snyder being away from the day-to-day operation.
So I'd like to think that he has more time than year three. But if the record goes the wrong way, like if they don't at least get back to like 7, 8, 9 wins, I think like then he's going to be in trouble. You know, again, like this is without knowing what happened. Like if they have the same amount of injuries that they had this past year, or the COVID stuff comes back and, you know, brutalizes their roster like it did in December, you know, there's some of this stuff was a little out of his control and you can't kind of really believe. It's hard to answer that question without knowing what happens next year. I don't think that they would walk away from him in year three if he does end up drafting a rookie quarterback. But if they have a really bad season, like they have like a Giants-like season, I don't know. You know, like I mean, I don't know what will happen. I don't expect that to happen. Like I feel like people are gonna think I'm being a homer about this. Like I like what he's building, I really do. You know, I don't like how they started their season. I thought they were off way too slow. I thought it took them too long to react to the defense playing as poorly as it did. Once it did come around, you saw the potential, and they are limited in certain spots, specifically quarterback. And, you know, I think some unfortunate things happened to them in December that kind of left them in a position with they weren't against Dallas or Philadelphia. And so it just kind of ruined their season, but the hole was too deep to overcome it. You know, assuming they have a little better luck next year and similar things don't happen again, I think they're getting better. I think their roster's working deeper. I do think they're a, you know, high level, probably having different outcomes. So I'd like to be optimistic about it that we're not even going to need to have this conversation. But, you know, this has been a organization that has not given people a lot of time previously. And if things stay stagnant or really go the wrong way, I really don't know what the answer to that is.
So, Ram, I have a quick question. So, what, realistically speaking, you know, a lot of names have been thrown out there, you know, drafting a quarterback, you know, getting Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. It's the quarterbacks like Garoppolo or also, or Derek Carr. What's more realistic? Like, what's a real to you? What situation is more realistic?
So I think it's more realistic that they sign a free agent and draft a quarterback personally, but that's not, you know, that's not going to happen this way. It's just so easier said than done. Like we're sitting there talking about people that are on other teams. We don't even know if they're going to be traded. So, I mean, that's problem. Is Derek Carr actually available? Like, we don't know that. Like is Russell Wilson, is he actually available, or is he just playing the field a little bit here? Yeah. And then, like, if he is he telling Seattle, I'll only go to certain places and Washington's not on that list? Like, we don't know the answer to that. Like, I'd like to see them, you know, go after Deshaun, assuming that the legal stuff gets behind him. But, like, does he want to play here? Like, I don't know. So these are the things that you don't know the answer to. What I do is to make a concerted effort to try to get one of those guys. And short of that happening, then I think it's plan B. And plan B is likely another, not Fitzpatrick, one who's in an affordable range, and probably their first-round pick on a quarterback. I had one idea today, just and it's probably preposterous, and it's probably not going to happen.
Go for it.
But I would be watching I'd be watching really closely what's going on in Chicago, to be honest with you. Like, whoever the GM and the coach are, they didn't draft Justin Fields. And they're going to come in there. And Russell Wilson said last year he would go to Chicago, and they had trade talks with them about that. If the new GM and coach come in and say they'd rather get Russell Wilson, and they could do that, what happens with Fields? Like, does Seattle want him? And if they don't, is he available? And I got to tell you, like, I'm all in for that. Like, I saw enough of him to go, you want to give up our first-round pick for him over the other quarterbacks coming out, take a chance on him? Huh. I'm in for that. So, if like, I want to watch things like that, too. Like, Justin Fields just got drafted by a group of people that aren't there anymore. So, I don't know what's going to happen, and I want to watch what happens with him.
Hey, Bram, a throwback Tuesday, so to speak, I'm about to throw out here. Kirk Cousins is on the block from what we're hearing, although he's being linked to the Broncos.
He said no.
No.
Quick. Bram said that quick. No.
And oh. Look, now, I mean, look.
You watch Heineken this season. Come on.
There's no chance on earth he wants to come back here. If he does, he's a masochist. Like, there's no chance he wants to come back here. But, like, you know, the real problem with Kirk actually is that contract. I don't know how in the world Minnesota's going to move that contract.
he's owed $45 million guaranteed next year. There's nobody could put that. I mean, Washington could put that on their cap. Why would they? You know, like, why would they? Then you got to extend them. And I really think, like, listen, you want to, like, the problem if you don't get Russ or that the fan base is, like, pumped about, you know, and thinks, like, everything's going to be great, is if you go get someone like this, I think you perceptually there's going to be a lot of people that are like, why'd you do that? We don't think he's that good. That's, you know, and then if it does fail, you're putting your jobs on the line for it. So, like last year, in hindsight, now knowing what we know, in hindsight, I actually think it would have been, this is all hindsight because he got hurt. But, like, in hindsight, if you were going to take a run with Trubisky, this past season was the year to do that. Because if it didn't work out with him and he's on a one-year deal, so what? You're in the same boat. Now, let's just say you like him, right? If you do sign him, there's going to be a group of people that go, he's not good. Failed in Chicago. Nobody likes him. And if he does really great, then you look smart. And if he doesn't do well, people are like, I tried to tell you from the beginning, don't get that guy. So that's the problem. And I think too many fans would be like, what? You know, like, if they did that. And honestly, I don't blame them. You know, like, it's not that Kirk's bad. Like, honestly, like, Kirk or Derek Carr, it's the same guy to me, honestly, other than Kirk has a history here. And it's not a it didn't end well, them, and Bruce Allen mispronounced his name, and the whole thing's ridiculous, really. So it's like, I don't think we're going back there. That ain't the ex-girlfriend you want to date again. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm like, beggars can't be choosers, though. We've been dealing with Heineke and company. Like,
I mean, I hear you. You know, here's the funny part is, too, you want to hear the craziest part about it, too, is I actually thought Taylor had a great season. You know, honestly, he has not played very much. Like, he's inexperienced. He'd been out of the league. I thought he played really well. And if the timing was different and they weren't heading into year three and they didn't have two under 500 seasons, I actually think, like, people would have looked at him a little bit differently. But the pressure's just ramped up and he's getting sucked up into it and he's going to be a backup now. But, you know, I really think, like, what's being overlooked here is he played well. Like, he did not play poorly. And I think that's really too bad, because I think if he was a different time, a different place, you know, with a little more patience, I actually think they would have at least said, you know what, we're going to let you compete with somebody else because of what we saw this year.
I'm sorry, Bram. Whatever you're drinking, though, I want to endorse. Here's the thing. I will say this. What's the last quarterback that you can think of outside of Kirk that this franchise had, maybe Robert, that has looked like a franchise quarterback? I'm talking about going back to Gus Frerotte.
Okay.
It has been forever.
The list is short, I'll give it to you. The list is short.
Okay.
Robert Griffin III for about 12 weeks. Then he got hurt.
Yeah, facts.
That dude was Haley's Comet. Like, don't even try to pretend that you were not excited about that dude.
That guy looked crazy good
for, like, 12 weeks. And then the other one is the one they blew it with, which is Brad Johnson.
Yes.
They blew it with Brad Johnson.
I agree.
Okay.
They did.
Blew it with him. They had him.
I'll
he wanted to
one.
Be here. Yeah. And they screwed it up.
With
they
Jeff George, right? Up, because of Jeff
they
George,
They went
right?
and brought in Jeff George, forced Jeff George to play over him, and then he left and won a Super Bowl somewhere else. They blew it with him.
Yeah, I'll give you Brad. Brad was
it's a short list.
Then you got to go back. Then you got to go back to Joe Seisman. Mark Griffin.
Ray would say Kerry Conklin or something like that. Kerry Conklin or something.
I'm just saying we Stan need Humphrey's a franchise too. Quarterback Stan's in Washington. I'm not a Washington fan, but I'm saying we as a native Washingtonian, we need to have a franchise quarterback here. I watched Joe Burrow the weekend. I'm like, dang, that's not fair, man. You know, but unfortunately, as we're talking about this franchise, with all of the news and just the culture that has been established over the years that Ron is trying to clean up, which he's struggling with, by the way, it's not looking good for them to bring in a big-time name. So we'll see what happens. But Wole, sorry.
Don't do that. Don't do me that way, bro. Don't do that. I'm the only Washington football team fan. I do want to get that in. So, I mean, we've named a lot of quarterbacks, but in terms of the fit, like, you mentioned Justin Fields, and I'm thinking to myself, because Scott Turner went with Justin Fields. Like, I'm trying to really think about the coordinator quarterback combination, because we've seen this, like Matthew Stafford couldn't win a playoff game, then you team him up with Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell. You look at Jimmy Garoppolo getting teamed up with Kyle Shanahan. Could Jimmy Garoppolo win elsewhere with a coordinator or offensive mind not as good as Kyle Shanahan? Now we're talking about this situation where, you know, a lot of people have stated that Scott Turner could be a genius. I'm not going to go there because I'm not – if you listen to the show, you know I'm not the biggest Scott Turner fan. But finding a quarterback that meshes with him could – like, which quarterback do you see? Is it a Justin Fields? Is it – obviously, you would think a Russ would automatically fit in because Russ is just Russ. But which quarterback would work best with a Scott Turner?
I mean, Russell Wilson's going to work with anybody. Exactly. I mean, he's that kind of player. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's hard to – I mean, we get someone like him, you know, I think it's that's a different story.
Definitely.
But here's what I know they want. They want a mobile quarterback.
Okay.
You know, Fields fits that mold, mm-hmm. obviously. Like, I think, you know, they don't want Jalen Hurts. You know, they want somebody who can move but also can throw. And that's hard to find, but that's modern. And to your question of, like, I think what you're asking is, do I think he's doing a good job?
I didn't want to put you out there.
All right, well, again, and I know you're laughing this off, but go look at Taylor Heineke's numbers.
Uh-huh.
And then tell me, you know, in just in general, what you think about him in terms of just, like, the ability to ascend to a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And tell me he had a bad season, because he didn't. Like, so, yeah. like... Some of that credit has to go to Turner. And frankly, when they were on their four-game win streak,
mm-hmm.
I thought he was, like, the biggest MVP
okay.
of the whole thing.
He concocted
an offense that had them, like, winning tight. They had the best for six weeks running in the league.
Yeah.
They had the best metric in time. That had a ton to do with the defense got better
yeah.
and a ton to do with Scott Turner had gamed up an offense that worked and worked to the point where they had long drives consistently. I like that. Scott's done a good job. I think they got dealt a very, very difficult hand this year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you tell me the other team that lost their starting quarterback in quarter two of game one
yeah.
and was playing with a guy who was in business school a year ago and that they were actually in the playoff hunt until COVID ruined their roster. I mean, like, honestly, I thought he did a pretty good job. And think about all the other injuries they had. McKissick. Logan Thomas, Brandon Sheriff, all the movement on the offensive line. I don't know. Like, I actually think Curtis Samuel never played. Like, I actually think, considering the hand he got, I thought Scott did a very good job this year.
I will say this, though, about the Scott thing. I do agree with you about the four-game winning streak, but I do think after the four when they played the Cowboys, he went a different route. After the four-game winning streak. Like,
yeah,
it was like,
you know what?
It was like, okay, I'm going to throw the ball a bit more.
The timing of those games, honestly, like, did you think they were winning either one?
No, I wasn't. I mean, it wasn't about the win. It wasn't about win or loss. It was about, because I'm a fan of what he did in that four-game winning streak. Like, Ray can attest to this. I've been crying for that type of play, that type of style since week one because of the mm-hmm. quarterbacks. I thought that's the best way to win football games. I think a lot of coordinators try to out-scheme things and try to make things more complicated in terms of showing they can pass the football. But I felt like how this team was constructed – with the talent that they have, and they don't have that guy at the quarterback position that can just air it out. So I was like, that style is Joe Gibbs-ish. Like, that's what Coach Gibbs would do with certain quarterbacks. He would do that same type of style, winning the time of possession, limited turnovers. That was Joe Gibbs' style of football. After the Raiders game, after the Raiders game, in that Cowboys game, it was like he went back to what he did prior to the four-game winning streak. And that was my issue. It's like a lot of coaches' offensive minds, and you see it even with Kellen Moore with the Dallas Cowboys, when they're trying to show that they can scheme up things like a Kyle Shanahan or like a Sean McVay, they tend to try to overdo it rather than going to what actually worked and was running the football, winning time possession, and limit your quarterbacks from trying to make the wild play like an Aaron Rodgers when he's not an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. The only thing I would say about the Dallas games were, and you have to remember that this is happening, they got three defensive linemen back healthy the uh-huh. week before they played them.
Uh-huh.
Washington was missing so many people, they got overwhelmed. and they literally couldn't run anything. So, like, I just, the timing of those Dallas games could not have been worse, honestly, in my opinion. Like, and I know that sounds like I'm making an excuse, but, like, I will not make an excuse for them for the way they played in the first half of the season. But the two Dallas games and the first Philly game, I will. Like, I don't think they were going to win any of them. Like, I just think, just because of circumstances.
Yeah.
And they had 8 million injuries, and Dallas was peaking and getting people back healthy. It was just, it was a bad cocktail, man. Like, it added up to, they were not going to win. And the fact that they were even close in that first Dallas game is just a testament to their resilience. Otherwise, it could have been 2 56-14 games, frankly, really, against them.
All right, Bram, I'm going to get you out of here on this one last question. Oh, I think Ray may have a question after me. But we talked through scenarios of possible a rookie quarterback or bringing in a veteran quarterback through free agency. What if both of those scenarios fail and they have to go with Heinicke? With Heinicke's salary, I think it's 1.5 against the cap next year. What can this team do to help elevate his play next year if he's the guy?
Oh, I mean, honestly, like, I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think if they can't make a trade, they're either signing a free agent and for some reason they can't find the free agent they want. Pretty limited this year. I think you can bet on them drafting a quarterback in the first round, either at 11 or moving up. Like, I don't see a scenario by which we don't have a new quarterback here that is likely the starter. So, I mean, we could revisit this in the spring if that doesn't happen, but I will be in shock if after the draft they've not upgraded the position whatsoever. Like, I know they're going to. It's just a matter of how.
Okay.
All right, Bram, I've enjoyed you on the show, and I heard everything you're saying about injuries and all. But up the street, up 95 in Baltimore, they had, I feel like, a worse situation. Injuries-wise, quarterbacks, COVID, they lost all their running backs, and yet they seem to compete at a higher level than Washington. So what's the difference? Is it the coaches there that are better, or is it just that Washington just wasn't prepared to deal with the injuries because they thought they would have a certain group going into the season?
What playoff game did Baltimore play in? Did I miss it? I must have missed that. When did that happen? Was it Saturday or Sunday? I don't remember.
Okay, so what was the Ravens record? That's my question.
I don't remember. 8-9, 9-8.
I think they were like 8-9.
The Ravens were 8-9.
They were 8-9. Okay. Did you see Ben Roethlisberger play quarterback the other day? Because didn't they lose to him?
Yeah, but they didn't lose.
Yeah,
they didn't lose. Like, they didn't lose like Washington lost to Dallas. And I feel like the Ravens compete at a higher level than Washington did with all the stuff they went through. And they were actually leading their division at one point with all the injuries.
Uh-huh. And then they lost a lot of games. I mean, they weren't anymore. They ended up in third place.
Oh, see, hold on. You can give Scott Turner credit for a four-game winning streak, but you're not going to respect what Harbaugh did for the beginning, for the first half of the season? Come on, man.
I love Harbaugh.
But it's okay. I understand.
I do. I love Harbaugh. He's a great coach. I love Lamar.
I love Lamar.
They had a ton of injuries, just like Washington did, and it ruined their season. I'm not surprised it ruined their season. I don't know. Like,
Brandon, Baltimore's culture is better. It's Baltimore. It's Baltimore. Their culture is better. They have more of a winning culture. We already know it is what it is. It's Baltimore. it's unfortunate, but it is. They've been winning for like how many years now? Washington aspires to have an organization like Baltimore, to be honest with you. It is what it is.
Not this year. What playoff game were they in?
Just saying in general, man. You still build even when like, all right, so this is a situation like Washington for years. If they had – Due to the fact that they're in the past, they've been losing football games left and right. And so when you hit adversity, you're going to go – it's going to be hard to overcome it. Now, if you're a winning football team, you can adjust to it better. Like, Baltimore was hit real hard. You lost your franchise quarterback. Like, the dude is your offense. Like, basically, Lamar Jackson is your overall offense. Like, what he does, no one can do. And you have to game plan throughout for all of that. So it's just like Michael Vick when he was in Atlanta. Like, if Michael Vick was out of their offense, it's not the same. It's not the same Atlanta offense. So the same thing for this situation where, but even with that said, because of what they have built over the years, they're able to deal with it a little bit better. So I'm saying I don't compare Baltimore to Washington because Baltimore has already created a blueprint and an organizational model of winning football games, even though they're missing players. Washington is trying to aspire to be that way. Therefore, like, so down the road, hopefully, if Rivera does things the right way and can build a winning culture, that if they lose bodies, next man mentality will work out better for that, for the Washington football team, or whatever name they're going to be in February.
All right. Just real quick, since you have it in front of you, what was their record in the second half of the season, Baltimore's?
Baltimore. Which one of y'all have that in front of you? Because I don't. I'm not going to lie. I don't have it in front of
me. All you're going to see is LLLLLL. And you're sitting here explaining to me how great they are when they lose every game they played.
But no, but you know,
they're 2-7
down the stretch.
They were 2-7 over the second half of the season.
All right, but name the score.
Baltimore. All right. They know what they're doing, going 2-7.
But look, Brian, but also, and what the scores, though, I mean, still a loss is a loss. I get what you're saying. But in those games, they're competitive throughout. They're not getting blown out
they're
when
close.
You're losing Lamar. You lost Lamar. Like, look at Washington. We're complaining about losing Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, you're losing Lamar Jackson throughout the season. That's hard.
Let me give you an example. All right, fine. Since you think we don't compete hard. Okay.
Not compete hard.
Philadelphia on a, they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We went to Philadelphia on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Without half of our roster,
I thought it was good. That was
preseason
nice.
Secondary,
yeah.
And a quarterback who'd been here for 2 days.
Yeah,
and in the fourth quarter, we were down by one score.
Definitely, I agree. I'm not saying that we don't compete. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in Baltimore, I'm a Washington fan. I grew up a I'm a diehard Washington fan. I'm the homer of the group. What I'm saying is that if you're looking at what Baltimore, it's easier for Baltimore to overcome something like that. Because of what they've built. Washington, it's not about playing hard or whatnot. The next man mentality is easier for Baltimore because they're breeding something different. They've been doing that for a while. It's just like, for instance, before, you know, this Tom Brady, but the New England way. Like, they would lose bodies and always bring in somebody to kind of work, play hard, and they would always compete. Even the year they lost Tom Brady, Matt Castle went 11-5. So I'm just saying, like Washington, they're aspiring to have that kind of consistency. When they do lose bodies, they'll still be able to compete in football games. We're not getting blown out by getting blown like 50-something to 14. That's all I'm saying.
I think what you're trying to say is, since you have the score
in front of you, what was the score of the Bengals game late in the season?
Oh, that was I like Jamar Chase, man.
That was the only game.
I like Jamar Chase. That was embarrassing.
41-20. And how many yards did Jamar Chase have in that game?
I know what.
Have like 800?
All right. See, you know what? He's like the new Randy Moss. See, that's not fair. You know, I see what you're doing.
Okay. It's always an excuse. Listen, I don't disagree with you that Baltimore's had a lot more success than Washington.
Yeah.
And Washington aspires to have the consistency they do.
Yeah.
You're picking a really bad year to give it a.
Because
Baltimore, just like Washington in December, when it mattered, got blown out by the division champion.
All I'm saying, I know, you know what? Brand, you got it. I ain't messing with you today.
I watched too much of this. You shouldn't talk to me about these things.
I ain't messing with you, Brand.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell I'm not going to be able to crack that egg. Brand, thanks for joining us.
I love that you want to die on the hill of 2-7 is something to be proud of. Like, that's amazing.
But if you look at the Steelers' loss, they lost by one. They lost to the Packers by one. They went for two at the end. They lost to the Rams by one. Again, like, they could have won. Uh-huh. They should have won two of those games right there.
Gone for
but
two, yeah.
You know what? A loss.
Yeah,
a loss. So. I'm not going to harp on it. It is what it is.
This has been fun, though. I ain't going to lie.
Like I said.
This has been fun. I'm not going to lie.
Of course. I love the debate. I didn't expect it. I thought you were going to agree with me.
I know. Me too. Yeah, I thought he was going to agree with us too.
I think Baltimore runs a very good program up there. I think they had a lot of injuries. They have a lot of excuses this year. But if the argument is, like, when they lose people, they play harder than Washington, that didn't happen this year. So, I don't know. Like, you just mentioned they lost it. They lost to Pittsburgh. Did you see Ben Roethlisberger play?
Look, man,
he literally can't play anymore.
Hold on. You just said Philly went to the playoffs. You said Pittsburgh was a playoff team.
They were a playoff team because they beat the Ravens. Just like Philly was a playoff team because they beat.
Oh, I do have a question because you know what you said about Scott Turner. I do have this one question. I feel like this segment is going way too long, but I do have this question. I do have a question though. So, all right. So Scott Turner, fair. Right? All right. Could Scott Turner win with Jalen Hurts?
Do you think we can win with Jalen? Do you like Jalen Hurts?
No, I'm not a big Jalen Hurts fan. He got to the playoffs though. Can Scott Turner win with Jalen Hurts? That's what I want to know. I want to know the level of people.
I want to give Philadelphia credit. I think they did the best with what they had.
Okay.
Like I think they constructed something that worked for them until Hurts got hurt, and then he wasn't the trigger man anymore. We saw this actually in the Eagles game. He wasn't running very much anymore. Like their run game was unstoppable when he was doing that zone read stuff, but he was keeping it. He stopped keeping it when he played us because he had been injured. And that was, like, obvious.
Yeah.
And so, like, but I would just say this. Like, you saw it against Tampa.
Yes.
Throw the ball to win in the NFL. He can't throw on the run accurately. And, I personally don't see him as a quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a really good backup. I think he's. You know, like if he was the backup in Baltimore, I actually think they would have had a different outcome, honestly, this year, probably. Like if he replaced, like he'd be perfect for that offense, like perfect. So, like, no. But I'm also, I don't think Washington would be interested in him because they want someone who's an accurate passer. That's not him.
Definitely.
I mean, not at this point. It doesn't mean he can't be. Like, Josh Allen was an unbelievably inaccurate passer early in his career, too, and somehow he became accurate. So, I'll put out the possibility that Jalen Hurts can become that, but until I see it,
no, I agree.
I'm not interested.
No, I'm not the biggest Jalen Hurts fan, but I'm always interested. Because the Eagles were able to get to the postseason and they got on the winning streak with them. I give the coaching staff a lot of credit. But hey, Bram, before I let you go, how can our listeners catch you on social media?
Oh man, you guys got me riled up. <All right. laughs> And I thought we were going to have a nice, calm conversation. You can read the Real Bram W, and then, I have my radio show on ESPN 6:30 a.m. from 3 to 6 weekdays. And now, God, I got topics for tomorrow. I get to ask the question.
Awesome. See,
we respect Baltimore for hanging tough but losing every game they
Bram,
play.
This is dude, dope, Bram. Look, we got
just,
it.
Give
look,
us a shout out.
Give us a shout out. Right. Yeah, I know. Just give us a shout out too, man. You know, just let them know that, hey.
I give you guys shout outs all the time. I love you guys.
I love you, man. I love it. Hey, thanks, Bram. Appreciate you for being on.
All right, guys.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, that was dope. All
should
right.
Washington Wizards center Thomas Bryant, should he start? How do we go on from this?
Oh, no, man.
We'll discuss this after the break.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Say.
Hey, Agent.
Yeah, dude.
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Wole, and myself, Ray Jeezy, part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. We got to rush through this stuff, man. We had a heated discussion with Bram Weinstein. All right, so yesterday we did, Joe. I was like, bro, I had so much I wanted to say. I had to stop, man. But he didn't, real talk, though, real quick, before we get into the segment, like indirectly, he doesn't know it, but he did answer my question about Jalen Hurts because I wasn't into basically saying that they couldn't coach up They wouldn't coach up Jalen Hurts to win football games with Washington. They could do it in Philadelphia. That's what I wanted to hear, and I got my answer, so I was cool. All right, yesterday on MLK Day, the Washington Wizards center, Thomas Bryant dropped 15 points in 16 minutes off the bench against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Wizards won that game 117-98. Should Bryant be the starting center? Ray Jeezy.
I'm going to give you a quick answer because I know we're running behind.
I know,
if this team under Wes Unseld Jr. is going to be a defensive basketball team, and you continue to keep Daniel Gafford as your starting center. See, we don't want to drink the Kool-Aid because Thomas Bryant, he brings extra shooting. He just adds to the offense. We know that about Thomas Bryant. But the Wizards, if they're going to make a nice playoff run, which Bradley Beal wants, which Tommy Shepard wants to keep Bradley Beal here at an astronomical price, then you're going to want to have the ability to stop teams. Mm-hmm. And right now, with Daniel Gafford in the lineup in the middle, you have the ability to play strong defense. With Thomas Bryant, there's a drop-off defensively, but you know the boost offensively, what you need, because we know the Wizards also go on scoring drives. So keep him coming off the bench.
What you will?
Ray, you couldn't have said it any better. I agree with you with this one caveat, though. With Thomas Bryant, in my opinion, they're more of a half-court team. During the first half of the season, we saw this team, they played at their best when they're playing defensively, you know, getting stopped defensively, whether that's getting blocked shots with Daniel Gafford is a better option, you know, a better rim protector. Also getting those loose balls, getting their hands on loose balls and getting out on the break. Daniel Gafford, you know, to me, he's a guy who fits more into that style of play, getting up and down the court. Thomas Bryant, like you said, Ray, is more of a plus offensively for this team, and that's something that they need to do. That's something they need coming off the bench. So I think Gafford blends in better with the first team with the starters, and Thomas Bryant is a better fit coming off the bench.
Yeah, any way they do it, they want to split minutes, you know, platoon that situation. I think it's a winning formula for the basketball team, because, you know, Tim Gafford's a better defender. Also, he's better on the pick and dive. If Bradley Beal's being that guy with the ball who can, you know, assist him for like a dunk. And also on the flip side, in terms of creating spacing, you do have Bryant who's able to hit the three. Depending on how accurate he is at the time, we'll know, but he's able to hit the three. But hey, you know what? Let's go right into football talk, because again, we took so much time and talking about the Washington football team again because of the heated debate. All right, we're going to go into the NFL playoffs. All right. So other than the Raiders, Bengals, and the Cowboys, Niners games, the wild card playoff games weren't really competitive. Wiltie, I'll start with you. What were your thoughts on the wild card games?
I didn't watch a lot of it. Uh-huh. The only games I did watch, you know, from kickoff to the end of the game was the Dallas Cowboys game versus San Francisco 49ers, because I thought that would be the most competitive game, and it probably was out of all of the games. But it just goes, you saw some teams who snuck into the playoffs at, you know, last week of the season, you know, who were completely overmatched by teams that, you know, superior in the standings. Yeah. It didn't really make for good TV per se, in my opinion. But I definitely expect this upcoming week to be far more competitive, and all four of those four games to be far more competitive.
Right.
For me, the Buffalo game was the most entertaining, and even though it was a blowout, it was still fun to watch. You're talking about the way you saw the smoke coming out of the players' mouths. 5 degrees in Buffalo during game time. That's old school football. Will T, that's like you in District Heights Hilltop. Everybody out in the cold, no coat on. We out there. Same thing. I used to play. I won't let you even play soccer football growing up.
Oh, I did. No, I did. No, I definitely did, bro. No, I. Whoa. I played tackle football, bro. Don't do me that. Like, don't,
okay,
yeah. And I played on concrete tackle football. I used to do a lot of dumb stuff growing up. Don't do that. That was a good one, though. I ain't gonna lie. Soccer, that was a good one. I ain't gonna lie.
That took me back to my childhood watching Josh Allen just have a field day playing against the New England Patriots. I mean, doing whatever he wanted. That's real football when it gets cold out, and that's where I feel like you're tested at. When you're, especially when you're coming from the West Coast, that's why the Raiders, I didn't think, had a chance going to play Cincinnati, leaving Vegas, leaving the warm air in Vegas, and having to face that cold. That's why I love, like, those old Chicago Bear games. I'm just like an old-school dude, man. I feel like that was old-school football in Buffalo. And just seeing New England get beat up like that was interesting with a rookie quarterback. However, they continued to compete. Even though they were getting their butts whooped, they continued to compete all the way to the last whistle. I love that, too.
I love the thing about competing, man. This has been a dope show. For me, obviously, I'm petty. I'm glad the Cowboys lost. That was the greatest thing that stood out to me. You know what I mean? Like, just that Seahawks Cowboy fans. Like,
oh, man, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm cool with it, bro. I'm going to be me. Like, it was great. You know what I mean? Because they were so confident, and it was a bad matchup. You know what I mean? You knew it was a bad matchup. They were so confident that they could, like, beat the Niners and this, that, and the other. And they lost. It was great. Also, in terms of, like, the Tampa Bay Eagles game, that was just a bad matchup. Like, the Eagles love to run the football. That's the best way for them to win games this season for them. And Tampa is stout in stopping the run. It was just a bad match. And then you're going against Tom Brady. It's just a bad matchup. So I knew that was going to be a blowout. So, but most of them, you know, like we all stated, like most of the matchups, because of the way some of these teams came into the postseason, some of these matchups were just bad matchups. I was more the most entertaining game. The game I did like the Bengals Raiders game. I thought you had two teams that played at a decent level. I don't know why people would be hating on Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr, he had an MVP season before he broke his leg a few years back. He took the Raiders to the postseason. They were going through all types of BS, and he took that team to the postseason. So, like, I don't know why, especially Washington fans, how come they're like Derek Carr? Like, you have Taylor Heineke. I don't care what you talk about. Your quarterback is Taylor Heineke. Like, Derek Carr should be the first dude you want to snatch up, if you could snatch him up. So, but I was entertained by that game. All right, so let's go. Wilton, you want to do the next segment? My bad, man. I'm still in segments.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it. My part, my contribution, I try to contribute to the show, but, you know, Wole sometimes writes me out.
Yeah, no, it's my okay. Bad, bro.
The division games are up next. Which team should be on the upset alert?
Okay, so
I'll give you the matchup for this coming weekend, okay, in the division. Okay. Rams versus Bucks, 49ers versus Packers, Bills versus Chiefs, and Bengals versus Titans.
I think the Bucks are upset alert. I think the Rams will beat the Bucks.
See, I agree with you. I think that this is I don't think that the Bucks have enough offensive firepower. To be able to keep up with the Rams. And I think that's going to be the upset.
What about
There's
you?
Two people I don't pick against. Tom Izzo and Tom Brady. but I agree with you guys, because I like the way, well, defensively, they look really, really good this past weekend. And if you pressure Tom Brady with the injuries to the receivers that Tom Brady, mainly Goodwin, he's out, bro, I do think it could be an upset, although I don't want to pick it. I'm going back and forth. I know Ha-Kun Wong is waiting for my picks to come out, so I got to make sure I'm prepared to make the right choice. But, yeah, Bucks on upset alert, definitely.
Yeah.
Packers, too, though. Boy,
I think so,
tough,
too.
Man.
I'm telling you. I agree. I think Packers should be scared, too. And Aaron Rodgers, isn't the best in the postseason, for real. Like, folks don't want to talk about it, but – He looks great in the regular season. Like, he's unbelievable. But in the postseason, he's not, like, all world. He's decent. He's not horrible, but he's decent.
That's fair. And then I think one thing you also have to take into account when the 49ers play the Packers is the weather, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the forecast is for that game, but I would imagine.
Super cold, I heard. I heard super cold.
Yeah. But I would imagine, you know, with the style of play that Kyle Shanahan likes, you know,
exactly,
with the inside-outside zone cut, you know, that, and, you know, running the ball, being physical up front, it could cause some problems. It could potentially cause problems for the Packers. So,
I think we're going to see four extremely competitive games this weekend.
Agreed.
Well, I'm excited about that. All right. We posted this question on our social. We posted the question on our social media platforms. What's the question, Wally?
No, we're done with this segment, bro. We're going to the next joint, bro.
Oh, we're done with this segment, bro.
Okay. Next. All right. Well, no, we speed through. We had to, man.
Okay, well.
You already know. We're going to our entertaining segment, bro. It's on you, bro.
Yeah, so there's only one way. Well, Maryland assistant coach was caught paying for Athena.
You ain't got to read the lead. Bro, we ain't got to go to break, Will. We ain't got to go to break, bro. So we go right into it. Pause. Hey, that's not.
Okay,
hey,
I mean, hey. All right, let's get into it. I mean, it seems like, you know, 2021 coming into 2022, you know that there's inflation. A lot of things are starting to cost more, from cars, food, houses. But it seems as if Maryland assistant coach Bruce Shingler, he caught a deal. And that deal that he caught got him arrested. Dateline, Largo, Maryland. Bruce Shingler was arrested in a Holiday Inn in Largo soliciting prostitution for $80.
Was that really where it was?
Yeah, it was.
Largo, Maryland.
Largo, yeah. Maryland, bro.
It was.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, it seems a lot of things, the price of a lot of things are going up over the past couple of years, but it doesn't seem
like they ain't going up.
The cost of prostitutes go up for $80.
Oh, yeah.
I
feel like that's hard to program.
Just during COVID alone, that's a bad look.
It is, dog. It is.
It is.
It is, man. I feel bad for Danny, man. He's trying to, you know, Maryland's going through some rocky times right now, man. Like some real tough times in Maryland. Turgeon dropped, you know, steps down. You know, Danny Manning has to kind of try to carry this team, this organization. Now you got some dude that has to pay $80 to get his beak wet. I don't know. This is wild, man. This is wild.
His beak wet. Well, no. I mean, well, if you remember, Greg Anthony, former Net.
Yeah.
TNT broadcaster, he was caught a couple years back in D.C.
Yeah.
With something similar. I think he was trying to solicit for... No, I think his was a little bit more. I could do some research. You guys talk a little bit, and I'll do some research.
I'm just very interested. Like, I mean, like, what site was he on? Was he on... I know it was a website. He was on a website from what I read. Was it Plenty of Fish?
Yeah, evidently
was it Craigslist?
What
was this?
I don't know. I was talking this over with someone. How can I put this delicate?
Oh, no.
Someone who partakes in these types of activities.
Really?
Well, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Greg Anthony was $80 too.
What?
I mean, damn.
$80? Damn. I would like to see, it is, hey. I mean, what were they getting, though? Were they, like, getting the whole act? I don't know. This is wild, man. This is, like, a wild discussion.
I mean, I don't know. This is wild. I mean, you know, like, I did Google some terms.
Oh, shoot.
Did some research, Google some terms.
Oh, shoot.
But what?
What terms did you Google? Like, I'm interested in this, bro.
Yeah, like so I Googled and asked some friends,
uh-huh.
I asked someone who's experienced.
Okay, yes, you gotta go that route. Need some references.
Yeah, he told me for $80, it's pretty much, you know, it's a quick session.
Okay.
It's not a GFE, which means a girlfriend experience.
Oh, okay. this is awesome.
Hey, listen. I asked someone who has experience in this.
Facts.
He said for $80, you know, it's pretty. It's you know, you just go in and you handle your business. You know, for $80.
Wow, man! Wow.
This apparently only carries a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison.
But the shame, though.
I doubt he'll get that.
Me too. I doubt he'll get that.
And I don't think he has a register for this, does he?
Nah, this ain't
let me ask you guys this.
Should this be illegal?
No. You could take 1 year in jail, but you still have to live with shame.
What? Say it again?
Which one?
All right, so
I can take 1 year in jail.
You can either 1 year in jail,
yeah.
You know, still have your job.
Yeah.
Or with the shame of being caught in something like this and having your face
on plastic or whatever
papers on the internet for doing this, which one is worse to you, the shame or the jail?
Like, there's no minor, right? There's no minors in this situation, right? I'm not doing.
Yeah, I don't believe there's no minor.
Oh, I'm cool with the internet shame.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing anything illegal. To me, I'm not doing anything illegal. Like, did I rape any? I ain't rape anybody. Not at all. I'm not having sex with a little kid or a teenager. Nah, I'm cool. I just say like, yeah, he paid $80 for some sex. I'm online. Okay.
But he's still in the coaching staff, right? He just was suspended.
He just spent it for 30 days.
Yeah,
that's it.
He's been suspended for 30 days.
Well, like it's the nature of the crime. I mean, he was trying to have a consensual encounter with another adult. You know, it's just, of course, it's illegal. That's the only thing. So I don't think it's going to be something that is continuing to be talked about. Now, in his position, though, it's not a good look. If he was looking to advance his career, like Rick Pitino got another job because he's Rick Pitino.
Of course.
And he wasn't, of course, committing a crime, but he was committing adultery, and then the details of it were very embarrassing for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, people see past that. If Maryland made the tournament run, I guarantee this won't come up, except to say, look what they overcame. So,
Okay, man.
It would come up if they were still in the ACC and they had to go to Cameron Indoor. Students at Cameron.
That's cool.
They would let him have
it. Yeah. I mean, there's so much. But he can have fun with that. You know what I mean? It is what it is. There's so much fun he can have with it. I see a lot of potential.
Give Robert Kraft. He need to give Robert Kraft lawyers.
He paid. I mean, I want to see this cop, man. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. $80, though? Like, what was this cop? Was she like, oh, I want to see this cop. I want to see a picture of this cop.
I don't think they provided a cop a picture of the cop.
They wouldn't do that. I know they wouldn't do that. Because
she's probably undercover that she won't continue that work.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't put you out there like that.
I know. But see, isn't like, all right, so what, I mean, if he was caught in the strip club, was that bad too? I'm just trying to figure out what's bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking out for Mr. Shingler. Because, you know, like, he goes to a strip club and he drops $80 at a strip club and they're doing all types of whatever. I mean, I know they're touching you, but it's all types of whatever. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, is that bad too for his job? Like, he was caught in a strip club. Was that a bad look?
He made a drop
of honey.
If he went to a gentleman club and just dropped $100 on lap dances, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
You know, but once you start to pay.
Yeah.
Pay to play, I think that's where you get it.
Well, I mean, so say he goes to a place like Irvin's or something back in the heyday. Chances are you're dropping 100, so you're not really just getting lap dances. I'm just saying, is that a bad look? Because that's probably a bunch of famous folks who went in the Irvin's. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, he he dropped $80, and he should have his job back. I that's my belief, that he shouldn't lose his job over this.
Well, he's been suspended for 30 days.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll lose his job. I don't think he'll go back to the bench.
Yeah.
You know, he may be subjected to, you know, doing scouting reports and, you know, maybe some administrative things for the basketball team.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think it would be a bad look if Maryland just said, hey, we're going to put you back on the bench after your 30-day suspension.
Do you think it hinders recruitment type of stuff for Maryland?
I think recruitment, doing recruiting and stuff, you gotta let the stink get off of it, you know, maybe like in three, you know, in 30, you know, in 90 days. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, he'll be able to recruit. I mean, because you could always flip it. If you're going into somebody's house, hey, I've made my mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I've been down that path. I can tell him, you know, what happens when you go down that path, the shame and embarrassment you bring to your family, into your organization and employer, right? So, you know, he could flip it.
Sure could flip
it. And make it work for him.
He can sure flip it. It's true. He can sure flip it. And we're going to end this segment. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Yes, search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, we appreciate everybody for tuning in. We appreciate Bram for giving us a heated debate. We love that type of crap. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, Deeg.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.